The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
So I'm having flashbacks to when I was a kid, growing up in the church. I'm having these flashbacks, and when I, sometimes there'd be a long service, a testimonial service. Some of you are going to know where I'm going with this. There were moments that I distinctly remember, like after testimony stories like this, the pastor would get up and I'd be like, he's not going to preach, is he? and you kind of sit back there and you kind of bite your nails and you go, open your Bibles to such and such a passage. And you're like, oh no, please. Like, and he'd go for 30 minutes. So I'm going to try not to do that to you today. It's been a good service. But I do want to share about something that's coming up, and it's really fascinating to me that the message that I felt God put on my heart for today, we just finished, we're just coming out of this series on this and that, and we're getting ready to enter into a time of prayer as a church for 21 days in August. And I really, I titled the message, Motivated by Love. And it's interesting that even in the reports you heard today from the kids, finding their identity and who God says they are as his loved children, hearing the theme of NYC, you know, love God, love others, and hearing this theme that we have. And so I want to share a scripture with you. It's in Psalm 9, 9 through 10. And it says this, "The Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, O Lord, do not abandon those who forsake you. You, O Lord, do not abandon those who forsake you." And I'd probably like to ask parents, how many of you would be willing to drop your kids off at a complete stranger's house that you have no knowledge of, you've never met a day before in your life? And I think the answer is pretty obvious. The answer's no, of course not. I've got to at least get to know this person before I can trust them enough to have them watch my kids. I think we'd all would agree with that. And what I want to propose to you is this, that I think it's so important that we understand that in order for us to truly trust in God, we need to get to know who he is. The psalmist understood that. He understood that the Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge. This is who God is. He is this loving God who is good and just and righteous. And the psalmist says, those who really know who he is, not what he's often said to be, not often maybe perhaps the way people who claim his name show that he might be, but know who he really is in his word, the Bible, in creation, the world, and in the church of Jesus Christ. The psalmist says, if you really knew who God was, you would be quick to put your trust in him, because God is one who does not abandon those who search for him. So I think it's important that we see that if you really know who God is, trust follows. If you're struggling to trust God with your life, let me encourage you, get to know him. Get to know him through the word. Get to know him through this world that he's created. Get to know him through the church. I think we can safely say that the church is both the greatest way that people come to trust in God and the greatest reason that people do not trust in God. The church at its best represents this self-giving love of God where everyone's welcome, where we truly reflect that ideal of what Jesus taught, that the greatest commandment is to love God and to love our neighbor as ourself. The church at its worst has turned people away from that. But let me encourage you, don't just lump all Christians together with those who claim to really know his love and follow him but are the examples of the hypocrites. No, really get to know real, genuine followers of Jesus Christ. Get to know that. those who know God, whether it's through his word, through creation, whether it's through the church of Jesus Christ, will trust in him. There is an individual, I'm going to move forward a couple slides here. Before I do, I want to read one passage to you. It's 1 John 4:16. It says, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. We know how much God loves us, and we have placed our trust in that love." We've placed our trust in that love. What I want to challenge you to this morning is that to come to a place as you get to know God, that you would come to trust in the fact that he loves you. There's a Catholic priest named Henry Nouwen. I'm going to put a picture up of him here. Well-known Catholic priest in the 20th century. And he was a sought-after speaker. He was a well-read author. He taught at Yale, Notre Dame, and Harvard. It's a pretty good resume, isn't it? And he struggled to find fulfillment to truly, what he said, to come home to the Father's love, to truly find the sense of identity that's rooted in the love of God. And after, at the end of his career, he left Harvard. He had tenure at Harvard, and he left Harvard to become the pastor of L'Arche Daybreak, which was a community, an organization that existed to serve people with developmental disabilities. I'm going to show you a picture of Henry Nouwen later in his life. He left the prestige, well sought after, all across not just the United States, but the world as a speaker, as an accomplished author. And his work there was not glorious, but Henry Nouwen discovered unconditional love. He discovered what it means to trust in the Father's love for Henry. And I hope by his example, we would come to know what the Apostle John means when he says, we have come to rely upon, to have confidence in. That's what trust means, to depend upon the love the Father has for us. Henry Nouwen wrote and spoke, and this is after really this message that really became a powerful message that he shared before his death came out of his time serving those with developmental disabilities. And he said that what was fascinating, none of these people had ever read my books. They had never signed up and envied to be in the class I taught. They didn't even know who I was, but they greeted me. They loved me unconditionally. And he said, through that I discovered that there's three lies we believe, and I want to share these with you. And these have to do with our core identity. Number one, this has to do with who I am. Henry said, the first lie we believe is this: I am what I do. And many of us seek to find our identity in our accomplishments, what we do, how well we do it. If I can accomplish, therefore, I have meaning, I have purpose. And then he said, another way that we seek to find our identity is by the second lie: I am what others say about me. That basically my identity has to do with how well people speak of me. And if you struggle with this one, man, it's great when people say, hey, you know, that presentation at work was awesome. Wow, we value you. You do a wonderful job, and they praise your gifts and they praise who you are, but it's also equally disheartening when they criticize you. And we ride this roller coaster that can be based upon what people say about us. And he said, the third lie is this: I am what I have. The possessions, what I've earned. That's what I ultimately am. Now, these three things aren't bad. It's important what we do in our lives. All of us want to do something that matters. We do care what other people say about us. It's not wrong to desire to be liked. It's not wrong to desire possessions. But Henry Nouwen said this. He said, look, if this is what you live for, he said, this is a terrible way to live, and this is not the way God intended you to live. Because there comes a day when your accomplishments, you can't produce anymore. Age has a way of doing that to us. And furthermore, Henry Nouwen says, you get 70, 80, 100 years if you're lucky, and it's gone. Nobody really cares what you did. That's pretty blunt. You know, this is what he's saying. He's saying, look, all those people who talked about you, they don't even talk about you anymore. All that stuff you have, now somebody else has. And he's saying, look, we're not meant to ride this roller coaster. Things are well. We're accomplishing. Things are going well. We're on top of the mountain. All of a sudden, something happens that takes away our ability to produce for a season. We're devastated. People are speaking highly. They're praising us. Everybody loves us. And all of a sudden, something happens, and we're down in the bottom again. And Henry Nouwen said, I spent my entire life, this is my reality. And I came to understand something that's so important, what it means to rely and trust on the love God has for us. And this is what Henry Nouwen discovered. He discovered this. You want to know who I am? This is who I am. I am the deeply loved son or daughter of God. And more than anything today that I know that God wants you to discover is right now, whether you're producing or not, whether people are saying good things about you or not, whether you have a lot or you have a little, this is what God wants you to discover, that you are his deeply loved son and daughter. 1 John 3, John says this, he says, see how very much our Father loves us, for we are called his children. And I love this, and that's what we are. Henry Nouwen said that probably one of the most difficult things for us to really accept in life as followers of Christ is to really believe this, to really trust that God loves us that much. But there's no greater joy. There's no greater joy in knowing that reality. When we understand how much God loves us, when we rely on that unconditional love of God, we receive this identity that we are the beloved children of God. And we still live in a world of doing. We still live in a world of people talking. We still live in a world of possessions. But we see beyond those things to our true identity. And God invites us as his beloved children to live with a brand new focus, and that is that we would love one another. 1 Peter 1:21 says, through Christ you have come to trust in God. Notice the emphasis of trust in all these scriptures. Through Jesus, the ultimate display of God's self-giving love for fallen, lost sinners like you and me, through Jesus, we have come to trust that in God, that he really loves us. And we have placed our faith and our hope in God because he raised Jesus from the dead and he gave him great glory. It says you, but I'll say we. We were cleansed from our sins when we obeyed the truth. That is trusting in Jesus as God's own son, the Savior of the world. When we obeyed the truth of the gospel by placing our trust in Jesus, we have been cleansed. And notice what he says. Why has all this happened? So that you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all of your heart. It says, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. Peter's saying again, he's saying, look, our lives are short. They're simple. You are the beloved who Jesus himself died for. God intends that we would trust in him, and that we would trust in his love, and then we would live lives that are committed to loving one another. Peter says, look, you're going to live forever if you trust in Jesus. You're going to live forever with him. So spend this life, whether you get 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100, spend this life sharing and giving that love. Henry Nouwen came to understand that. It wasn't the glory of Harvard, the glory of Yale. Those are all good. It was the love that he discovered deep within his heart to trust confidently in God's love. You are a child of God, deeply loved and treasured. You will live forever with God if you trust in Christ. That's your identity. If you trust in God's love, turn away from trusting yourself. Turn away from trusting in your doing, your accomplishments. Turn away from trusting in your reputation. Turn away from trusting in your possessions and trust in the love of God for you. Trust fully in Jesus, and you have this new identity. And then we can say that we are loved to love. We are loved to love. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. Point number 2 out of 6. Just kidding. I won't do that. I'm going to land the plane here. In homiletics class, they said if you had a sermon going along and all of a sudden, I remember getting criticized by one of my professors, the plane's flying and all of a sudden, you just crash land it. And so it just, boom. We'll try not to do that. But what I wanted to talk just about in just closing today is a way that our church family is going to express this love. We're going to express this love for the next season, 21 days in August. And so I wanted to give time to talk to you about it this week. And I think one of the greatest ways that we express our love in the body of Christ is when we pray for one another. And so we're going to be calling over the course of the next, starting next Sunday, August 4th, through August 21st, we're going to be, August 24th, we're going to be calling our entire church family to 21 days of prayer. And the reason we want to do this is because we believe in God's love for us. Let me say that again. The reason we would take 21 days as a church family to come together in prayer is because we know that our Father in heaven loves us. And we haven't deserved this, but we are loved by him. And secondly, we're going to do this because we love. Because we are his family. And when there's needs and there's burdens in the heart of anyone in our family, we pray for one another. Because that's what a loving family does. So we're going to be calling the church to 21 days of prayer. And I just want to make clear that the motivation for this is love. It's only love. It's not guilt. Man, I haven't been praying much. I better start doing this to feel better. Don't let that motivate you. It's not glory. Hey, look at us like the Pharisees. Look at us pray for 21 days. Woohoo! That's not the motivation. Love and love alone. So I want to share with you a little bit just briefly about that. We're going to focus on 3 overarching ways that we will love one another through prayer. And that is, number 1, our prayer focus is going to be on returning, the return of prodigals. Who do you know that doesn't know the love of God, and they have not come to trust in the love of Jesus? And we as a church family want to pray for 21 days. I know many of you I talk to have a burden for a family member, a friend. Not that they'd come to church primarily, although we welcome people and want them here because we believe this is a good place to come to know God. But beyond all that, we desire that those who don't know God loves them in the Lord Jesus Christ and they haven't trusted in him, we want them to know that love. We want them to know there's a better life than finding meaning in what I do, what others say, and what I have. So what we want to do as a church family is we want to carry those burdens. Scripture says we're to carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we do that by praying for one another. So next Sunday, we're going to actually focus on the theme of return. And there'll be an opportunity for you to write down a name, first name, a relationship, son, daughter, or an initial, or just say a friend. And we as a church family are going to pray for, by name, every single one of those individuals that you want to come to know God's love. And we pray, why? Because we believe that our loving Heavenly Father is reaching out to everyone. Secondly, we pray because we love one another. Now think about that. Ought we not to pray for one another's family members and people that may not know the love of God? We certainly should. So the first area is returning. The second is renewal. Renewal for the weary. whether that's physical renewal, those who need healing physically. We want to take time as a church family to commit to pray for 21 days daily, to carry a burden with a sense of belief that God can and does hear. And so we want to pray for physical healing. We want to pray for those who need spiritual breakthrough. And so we'll have an opportunity. That'll be the theme of our second week. And then the third week will be on this theme of refocus, seeking God's direction and guidance. And so we want to take time. I know there's pivotal times where each one of us have the sense of we need God's direction. We need him to refocus us in our lives. So that's going to be our theme for 21 days. And our desire is that there would be 100% participation. I think that's possible. 100% participation. So how we're going to do that is here in the church building. So on weekdays, starting next Monday, so a week from tomorrow, August the 5th, the sanctuary is going to be open at 6 a.m. And we're going to have it open for an hour. We're going to have a consistent format. That format is going to be like 15 minutes of worship. So they'll be singing scripture, and then there'll be 30 minutes of alone time where you can just sit, read God's word. You can spend personal time in prayer, then coming back together for 15 minutes just to pray together and then be sent out. Now, we know and we don't expect, my wife is a good example, we have four children at home. That's not possible. So I already saw some of you kind of smiling like, not happening. And we've anticipated that. And also, it's important, we really do at Peoria Nazarene treasure all people, whether it's those who can't get out maybe because of physical or something. So we're going to make this available online. We're going to live stream this so you can actually join from your living room. Also, if you don't get up at 6 or you work at 6, that video is going to be available. So at your own time, maybe for you it's better when the kids are in bed to do it. So during that own time, you can sit down in your home and you could watch that video and you could join in the worship. And then for that 30 minutes. And let me just encourage you, we're not doing this for guilt. We're not doing this for glory. We would do this because we love one another. And I think if I asked you, hey, take 21 days and pray for yourself, I can probably find 20. Well, there's a lot of reasons I want to pray for myself. If yourself is the focus, it's hard to sustain. But if I told you to take 21 days to pray for a brother or sister in this church family who really needs your prayers, would you step up? If I told you to pray 21 days for somebody who's breaking because of a physical condition, in this church family, your brother, your sister, would you take 21 days? And I think the answer is yeah. Not about legalism, not about glory, it's about love. So we're excited to talk about that. This is something new we've never done as a church family. We're gonna start next Sunday, but I didn't want it to catch you off guard. But because of love for one another and love for God, we would commit to do this because we believe that God loves us. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are so thankful. So thankful that you love us today. Father, even as we've heard these reports today and as we've considered your word that says those who know your name will put their trust in you, we are so thankful, just as we saw last week, that worship isn't just praise, it also is complaining to you. It's bringing lament. Father, I'm aware that there's people who do not feel your love right now because they're of either a physical condition, emotionally they're worn, they're tired. And Father, I thank you that in those moments you do remind us that you are good. You never call what we're going through good, but you remind us that you'll be with us and you welcome us to cry out in frustration, to cry out, bring our questions to you because you love us and you welcome and you desire authentic, honest worship. So I would pray that for this upcoming, we as a church family are coming together for a season. Lord, I pray that if there's any motivations of guilt, take those away. If there's any motivations of glory, take those away. And Father, would you help us, just as Peter said, that because we have come to trust in your love, because you gave us Jesus, your Son, so much more now, we must love one another deeply and authentically. One of the greatest ways we do that is when somebody in our family has a burden for somebody that's disconnected from your love, it is the entire church's responsibility to pray for each other, because that's what a family does. We love each other. When somebody is reeling because of a physical condition or a sickness or disease or something that's going on, the Church of Jesus Christ mourns with those who mourn. And we love and we care for one another. So we pray. Father, in every way our desire, whether it's direction from you or healing or whether it's prayer for somebody we know and that needs to know about your love, Father, we know that you hear us and we believe that you can and you will hear our prayers. So Father, I pray that you'd bless this as a church family. This is a new step. And whether people would connect here on a weekday morning or whether they would do so from their living room, doesn't really matter, Lord. It's that we in our hearts would come together as one family to worship you, to rely on your love, and to pray for one another, because that's what a family does. Father, I pray now that you'd bless each one of us as we prepare to go, knowing that you are with us, that you love us, and that we can come to trust in the love God has for us. That love which is greater than what we do, it's greater than what people say about us, and it's greater than what we have. And we're so thankful that that love endures forever. Our possessions don't last forever. People talking about us doesn't last forever. You and your love last forever. And we rest in that, and we delight in that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.